Hello! Welcome, buddies! You're listening to number one podcast in all of Afghanistan. That is right, guys. You're back on 102.1 KISS FM to listen to the Fairly Odd Fairy Tales Hour. My name is Malaku, and I'm rocking the butts.
And now tonight, we're going to go ahead and introduce a good buddy of mine, somebody who, honestly, he's such a good friend of mine that his younger brother, who was my better friend, I confused for this guy and then realized, oh, he's just Elijah 2.0. I didn't realize that the new model was released. Fuck yeah, and Daddy had one of those upgrade package plans, so I didn't even have to pay to get the newer version of Elijah. So that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Joshua, Stank Daddy, Muffalata Bread Rawlings in the house.
Word, word, howdy, howdy. Whenever anybody tries to do a Borat knockoff, you're just reminded how shitty it is. And thank you for doing a really shitty Borat knockoff.
That wasn't Borat, okay?
Yes, it was. It was a Borat knockoff, and it was really shitty.
No, it was not Borat. First of all, that was, at best, that was the Afghanistan consulate. And I'm actually pissed off that you think somebody from Kazakhstan is also from Afghanistan. That's ignorant.
I got more of a KGB kind of feel from it. That's how I felt. That's how I heard it.
Yeah, Josh, what the fuck, dude? Five seconds into the podcast, you're already making me the bad guy, bro. This is my show. They're going to crucify me.
You should make like the U.S. and get out of Afghanistan quickly.
That was dope. Okay, because of that, we're going to give Josh this round. I will keep staying and fighting because I do not like to lose, but that was fucking dope. And as always, we got Mac Daddy, Drewski, giving us all of your fucking beautiful shots, those hot shots. What did you say?
The visuals.
But can you do it in that sultry voice you did in the first time?
The visuals.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And last but not least, and you actually supposed to be second on this list, but he was talking some shit, so I made sure that they went last. Home Skillet, without whom none of this would be possible with, honestly. Especially like these cocktails that we're drinking, because I'm supposed to be making them, but he makes them every time. But thank you to the Helios Network for believing in a young black Mexican kid from the hood who's just trying to be a presence. Yeah, that's right. Not only Brandon, because he's not here right now, but Owen Landsberg.
You're so welcome, my child.
Owen's kind of like, you guys ever watch Nanny McPhee?
Never heard of it, actually.
Yeah, that reference's not going to work.
Wait, hit me with it, though.
Okay, if you've ever watched Nanny McPhee, this is a really bad reference, but there's a narrator in it, and he like casually like chimes in, and he's actually the protagonist, and everyone thinks it's about the little orphan family or whatever that Nanny McPhee saves, and then they save each other. Whatever. It's not about that. It's really about the narrator's psychosis, because this guy is telling a story about an ugly oaf that gets prettier over time. And last I check, any old dude who's talking about anything is creepy, gross, and disgusting and trying to overcome something. So that was the analogy I was trying to make, is that Owen's gross and trying to make up for something.
That's why your mom likes me so much.
Yeah, dude. Have you seen my father? He's a crackhead who lives in a one-bedroom apartment with 8 vacuums, dude. You're not beating much. But now that we got past that too, let's get to the cocktail. So tonight's cocktail is going to be literally called Jack and the Beanstalk, because Pinterest is fucking never ending. Real quick, Josh, Drew, and Owen, since you guys have been sipping on these from the beginning, how do you guys think about this cocktail?
It's balanced. It's relatively balanced. It's the citrus hits. I know we didn't get the grapefruit, but the lemon juice works just fine. Now I've kind of diluted mine with more Aperol. And it's tasty. It's a reasonably well balanced cocktail.
Would you say you're an Aperol fan, Josh?
Yeah, I am. I had a really bougie experience recently where I went to Catalina diving for lobsters, and all we drank for 5 days straight was Aperol Spritz, and I took on, you know, kind of a serious liking for it.
I'm not gonna lie, Josh. We're gonna have to multiple times throughout the duration of this podcast's longevity bring up that story. Because there's so many cool parts of it, including the captain with the burned bottle of rum. We can talk about this later, but just know that's a great story. And if I forget, somebody else bring it up in the future, right?
Yeah. Well, this cocktail, but we should probably tell them what is in the cocktail.
Straight up liquid candy. It's so delicious. I'm liking it.
You know, that's a good point. It might be like liquid candy. And I think that's thanks to Jack Rabbit Company's simple, or their tonic syrup. Yeah. I've never played with that kind of shit.
So this cocktail is 1.5 of a dry gin, three quarter ounce of Aperol, half an ounce of lime juice shaken with the tonic simple syrup.
Yeah, and weirdly enough, and me and Owen talked about this, it was interesting that they wanted us to top it with the tonic syrup, and we went back and forth on it, and we think because it kind of resembles a martini when you do it correctly. I know if you're watching us, you could tell we didn't do it correctly.
Nope.
But it's supposed to resemble that, and there wouldn't have been ice or anything to water it down, so I think the simple is just added. Like, it's like the old-fashioned debacle that we talked about.
Yeah, I know the cocktail's not supposed to have ice in it, but as it's melted, it's actually made it a little bit more enjoyable. A little more dilution has been nice.
Yeah, and also that Izzy grapefruit fizzy.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice touch. All right, guys. Now, enough about this stupid. Like, you want to know why this is called Jack and the Beanstalk, too? It's because of the tonic. It's Jack Rudy's fucking classic tonic syrup. That's the only reason. Everything's a lie, guys. Nothing is fucking real. Guys.
You have the most aggressive slurp I have ever heard in my life.
Let's try it one more time. Just...
It's like someone literally made their own Foley sound of that slurp.
Dude, I get paid to do this for all the high-end pornos, dude.
All that makes me want to do is one-up you on the slurp.
That was a bar. One-up you on the slurp?
No, that's my OnlyFans name.
Slurping on some scissor.
Slurp, slurping. Dude, this story I'm going to tell you guys right now, two things. One, longest fucking fairy tale in the world. It's literally so, like, if you find, like, an actual true version of it, it's so fucking long. Like, I read it over the course of 3 days because I could not in one day. It was just too much of a reading process. And also, it's one of the more difficult stories to actually get the story part of it. Like, the meat and veggies is the hardest thing to find. There's so much information about how it came to be and who wrote what version of it, but nobody really just has the story. And then once you look for the story, there's like 800, all of them are different versions of this fucking story. So this is a really hard episode to do, and I'm glad I picked Josh for this episode, because Josh, you're a really hard guy.
Is that because I'm jacking my beanstalk?
Yo, dude, we're going to talk about that later. Oh, I'm so glad.
The thing that screws me up about this, though, Malaku, as we go into it, even just hearing your brief preface about the story, I thought the only meat and veg in this story was Jack was the meat and the veg was the beanstalk. And that's all I know about Jack and the beanstalk. I don't even know what happens. Does he make it to the top of the beanstalk? Does he make it off the beanstalk? What's on the top of the beanstalk? I think there were some clouds. I've seen some Disney iterations of this story, but I really have no idea.
The beanstalk's only half the story.
Right.
No, the beanstalk's actually maybe like a sixth or like a seventh of the story, weirdly enough. So
now that I'm thinking about it, a lot more of it's coming back to me now. Like, you think it's just like, you're Jack and the beanstalk, right? So actually, I'm going to let you continue because I don't want to get too much into
it. No, I'm curious what you think you know of it now before we actually, because I'm going to jump into the story right after this. So tell me what you think it is.
So from what I've heard and like seeing, you know, from stories told, representations in cartoons and whatnot, and what you see, it's a kid and his mom, or his kid and his family. They're poor. They grow on a farm that's not you know, being fruitful. It's just nothing's growing. He has a cow. He goes to the store, or he goes to town, ends up selling this cow for some crazy seeds by this crazy person. It's like, I'm telling you, this stuff, these seeds will give you everything you need. And he's like, oh, wow, right, I'm on top of it. Brings it home. His mom's like, what the hell have you done? That's the most craziest thing. You sold a cow for some beans, like three measly beans or whatever. And so, you know, she whoops his ass. He goes to sleep. They throw it out the window, whatever. And then all of a sudden by morning, there's a huge beanstalk. And Jack's like, wow, this is crazy. All right, I'm going to climb it. And then he climbs it.
Real quick, before you continue, did you casually look over domestic violence? It was like, she beats his ass. He goes to sleep. Whatever. They throw the beans out the window. Whatever. She beats his ass. All right, continue with what you're saying, but geez, we know where your heart's at.
I mean, a cow for some beans? What? That seems like an unfair trade.
Oh, my God.
All right, so he throws the beans out the window. What is your understanding of what happens next?
So from what I can remember of being told or being seen on cartoons, the beanstalk grows. He sees the beanstalk, obviously climbs it, and then sees where it goes, and it goes into the clouds. And when he goes into the clouds, he sees...
That's where Malaka's going right now.
Yeah. I want to be with Jet. Also, Facebook in their metaverse, and then he's like, "Yo, dude, he goes into the cloud." Like, this right. is just
ascends
so funny.
Into the clouds? I don't know.
No. You got it. You're hitting it. It's just fucking millennials are super whack.
And I never put this together, but I'm glad I did. The name of the most relevant server architecture on AWS, which is like the biggest cloud provider, is called Elastic Beanstalk.
Is that true?
Yes, it is true.
I know is that this story is from Jamaica, and it was written by Professor Copperfield, and it's about his magical legumes.
No
one's picking that up.
No. What
it's
is
a reference from The Office.
Oh yeah. God!
How many Tinder profiles do you have?
Six. Okay. Six. Yeah. He also has three OnlyFans, one TikTok, which is weird. Yeah. You should
Why do you need more than one TikTok?
Yo, dude. Because they always take it down if they don't.
Okay, yeah.
Also, you can't show your nips on TikTok live, bro. That's why. So you have a backup one.
Never wanted to show my nips on TikTok live.
No
before.
Girl wants to. It's always an accident. That's why they keep doing this thing where they like bend over and squeeze their elbows together. Like, oh, I'm going to pick up this thing eight times. No, I'm not going to show you my tits, but I'm going to pick up this thing with my fucking elbows.
So anyways, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Okay. So a little bit of domestic violence. Throw in beans out the window.
Goes
you said,
clouds.
Of course, he climbs up. What happens next to your thinking?
So, and so that this is what, again, from what I've been, you know, from whenever I was told it as a story as a child, goes into the clouds. And that's what they say, right? He goes into the clouds. He sees a castle, right, in the clouds. And he's just like, wow, a castle. And then he goes to the castle, and it's like huge. It's not like a regular, like, it's like for, you know, the giant that lives there. He's like, this must be for a giant.
King of the castle.
He's in the castle, and then so this, I guess, is where it gets fuzzy. I can't remember too much past this point, but he comes in contact with, you know, the huge giant that lives in the castle, and I can't quite remember what happens from there, but I feel like at one point, doesn't the giant fall down from the clouds?
Yo, dude, so this is actually killer, because I'm not going to lie, for a split moment, Drew was going on. And I literally was like, did this motherfucker watch this like yesterday? Like, this is every detail. This is bullshit.
Episode over. Done.
Damn. All right, guys. There's nothing to discuss.
I told you it would go too into it.
No, we're
going
to skip to the outro, guys. This show's fucking over. All right, guys. Let's talk about what we learned today from Drew's deep, deep fucking desertion.
Drew, are you now the host of Fairly Odd Very Dense?
Oh, I don't know if I can have that. If I can contain that responsibility.
No, dude. Honestly, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even want this responsibility. You ever become a victim of your own fucking art, dude? It's the worst.
Malaku, paint this in a little bit more. Who was this family? Was it actually three people? What's this story?
What's the plot?
How poor were they?
Yo, okay. So you guys, weirdly enough, in the last 4 or 5 minutes brought up more concerns that I've only realized in the last like 2 days. And there's like a lot to unpackage here. And I didn't even notice it because it was so fucking hard to find the story and I couldn't read the story. I just kept reading the history on it. But this is what the story is, and we'll touch back on all of those weird things. But basically what happens is there's this family that's super basic, and they're just poor and basic, and everything about them, it's the Eiffel 65 song, I'm blue and
I'm green, I would die
if I were green.
You know that song's about iPhones versus Androids?
There's no way, dude. That came out in like 93.
Eiffel was way ahead of its time, man.
Yo, dude, you seeing the 10th season of American Horror Story? So what happens is this family it's not that they're just poor, but the father is bedridden. He's super sick. And the mom's like one of those ladies who's like, I'm gonna work hard milking this cow.
Beat my kid's ass if he does something wrong.
She's not that woman. And I thought she was too. And in every version I read, she never actually hits the kid. Never gets that far. But she's like a hardworking woman selling the milk from their cow and doing like jobs to like provide for the family. And apparently, so what I'm going to be reading you is I think it's Jacob Johnson or Joseph Johnson. What's his fucking name?
When did the story come to, like, what the time frame is this?
Well, there's multiple. Okay. Weirdly enough, this story has been around as an oral story for 5,000 years. And that's a big thing, is that people were saying that because this story has been around for 5,000 years as an oral story, when it came to picking one that would really like be the story for Jack and the Beanstalk, there was a version that came out in the early 1800s by a guy named Helbert Sumpen. He had a really shitty English name, but this guy writes a version of it and gives Jack a moral kind of background to lean on and for these conflicts that Jack goes through. And the entire group of people who saw it just rejected it immediately. Herbert Talbert or something like that, or Henry Talbert. It was Benjamin Talbert. That's his fucking name.
You said like five names.
It's because there's so
Benjamin
many people.
Benjamin Talbert. We're going to go with Benjamin Talbert.
There's so many people who wrote this, and he wrote it in 1807, and they didn't like it, and they rejected it because they thought it wasn't close to the oral version that they heard. So the only one that you can find is this guy named Joseph Johnson or some shit, and this guy writes the version in the 1900s, I think it is, or the late 1800s, and that's the one that everyone goes with because it was a little bit truer to the story they heard as a child. And that's a weird thing, because when you try to find the Benjamin Talbert version of this story, it's almost impossible to find.
Tabart.
It's a very, very difficult thing to find the actual story he wrote. You can find a bunch of like analysis on what he wrote, but not what he wrote. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty whack. Like,
because it moralized him. It was like why Jack was able to do what he did and not be evil.
And like, apparently that was never present. Yeah. And also Jack is a that story, Jack and the Beanstalk, comes from a collection of Jack stories. You've heard some of these. Jack Frost, Little Jack Horner. All of these like weird little things.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick.
Jack jump over the Camden sick. These are all the same. Jack is like a name for an archetype of protagonist who's a young trickster. He's young adolescent, but he's also kind of playing around with that like trickster vibe. So in the original Jack and the Beanstalk, he's being a trickster.
It's such a Jack thing. So,
are you?
No, you said a trickster. I was like, such a Jack thing.
Oh, yeah, it is. Dude, Jacks are the worst people. They're worse than Scorpios. And so this morality thing that Talbert tried to like add into it, nobody liked it because it wasn't like, I don't know, it's synonymous with like old fucking Jack stories.
Okay, so quit jacking off. I'm totally lost here. We've got this guy named Jack, and you're saying that there was a version of the story where he was not moral, and then through history he became more moral out of necessity?
He was mostly not moral in every version of this. One guy started to write this down for like one of the first times, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Okay, took the oral history and pinned it down on parchment.
And made it a moralized version.
Okay,
and
give me an understanding of what that first moralized version is. That the one we know?
No, it's the Joseph Johnson. And this is, but I think the Disney interpretations do use Benjamin Talbert's version, Talbert's, to kind of like, because it is innocent, it is for kids. So that's why maybe some things you've seen on Jack and the Beanstalk that have like a nice ending, it's usually because of that. They're trying to like pay homage to that guy, but you can't find his original text. But the one we did find from Joseph Jacobs' English Fairy Tales has Jack being this kid who's like kind of like I think he has ADHD because the way they put it is he's lost in wonder and he has these jobs he's supposed to complete for money, but he can't do them because he gets lost in wonder. So he never comes back with money. So his poor mom is making all this money. He's not helping. Dad is bedridden. Shit's hard. And she's basically a single mother. Okay. And then you get to this point where the cow stops producing milk. So now the mom can't sell the milk and she doesn't know what to do with this. So she goes, we have to sell the cow or we're going to be fucking poor.
Wow.
So okay. Jack, in her moment of weakness, goes, let me sell the cow. I want to do it for retribution. I really want to do this. And they bring up how like he had that like hunger in his eyes to be better, but his mother had the foresight to be like, he's not going
to
do this.
Okay. Right? So just to be clear, the cow was not producing at a level that could sustain the family. So they sold it instead?
At all. It was like if it hit, it's menopause, basically.
Okay.
No more eggs.
And they hit up, is this baby Jack? Is this teenage Jack? How old is Jack?
Never actually. You know what's weird? Not only do they not say, it's kind of clear that he's a child from context clues, but the story that this originates from, which is Jack Spriggins and the Enchanted Bean, which is like a whole other subject we'll talk about later. In that version, I think he's an adult because there's a lot of adult things that he gets into, like alcohol and sex.
Okay.
But in every other version of it, after that version, he's always like young. He's
keep
a child.
In mind that you're an adult at 12 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably like 14 or 15.
Right.
Which is crazy to think about, right? I know we talked about it on the other ones, but it's like still, it's like, holy shit.
Well, it depends on if they preserved the ages from the original versions. Like if they preserved the ages from the original version, mom is 35. You know, that means she's 5 years away from the median death rate.
I don't know if there ever was a carry of age, but there is a carry of the adolescent strive for maturity and becoming the head of the household whenever it's been analyzed by like psychologists. Okay. Whenever they look at this story, they always look at this as like an example of a man or young boy becoming a man. So he's definitely prepubescent going into like his adult ages for sure.
Okay.
I just don't
know.
You
could say he's like the youngest one in the story and he's like trying to make his, you know, his coming of man, I guess what one of you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, actually that's exactly what it is. But so I, considering what you guys brought up, I don't know if that makes him 12, 13, 14, or 9. Because if you were an adult at 13, 14, maybe this is like a 9-year-old trying to become a, who knows? But he's in that age realm, right?
Okay.
And he wants to improve himself, but he's also a child with ADHD. Okay.
And they have to sell this cow. That's where the story always starts. Is there's a cow, it's not producing, and Jack needs to sell the cow so they have something else.
Which is crazy to think about, right? Like back then, people were so dependent that a single animal could determine your livelihood, if you could even exist or continue on.
Have you ever played those like civilization games where the farm is everything? And for this family, it literally, they had one cow, her name changes, but in the version I read, it was dope. Her name was Milky White. Love that.
Nice.
And Jack's like, let me sell this fucking cow. And his mom's like, nah. And he's like, yeah. And she's like, I. And so she goes, do not sell it for less than 10 pence. And he's like, mama, I'm going to bring you back 20. And she's like, all right. So he's got that hustling spirit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so he goes to sell the cow. Now, this is a factor that comes in a few stories, but not every single one. So it changes. But in this version and a few other ones, a random old man comes up to him and goes, hey, Jack, what you doing? What you got there? And Jack answers him. And he's like, oh, I got a cow. I'm going to go sell it. But he doesn't know this man. And he's very confused why this man knows his name, but apparently Jack was such a common name at the time that the kid just assumes, oh, he was just calling me Jack. But he doesn't know why this man knows his name, so he's a little creeped out at this moment. And the guy's like, hey, dude, I'll buy your cow. I'll give you, and this number changes, 5 magic beans so you can like go ahead and do your shit with it. And in some versions, it's only 3, which is weird. I don't know if that number holds, if it's like these even like amounts.
No, it sounds like an odd number.
These odd amounts that are like kind of nice round numbers that we like 3 and 5. But that number does interchange between the two.
There actually is studies that show that people prefer odd number of things rather than even number. That's why, like with paintings, if there's like birds, if you put an odd number of birds in like the background, it looks like people will say it looks better. Rather than if there's even number. Completely off topic, but
because,
it's super fucking
we
strange.
Like symmetry, though? And like because when we see something that's...
Well, it's like it's a triangle or a square more visually appealing.
Well, is a pentagon less symmetrical than a square?
Well, the triangle is the most stable shape in geometry.
You listen to too much fucking Hall J, dude. And so he gets these fucking beans from the dude.
Wait, 3 points where 2 lines meet?
That's beautiful. That was profound.
Get back to it.
I'm fucking drunk, guys. Can you pass me the gin? So what ends up happening is that Jack takes these beans back home to his mom. And this is my favorite part of the story, frankly, because you guys also know I'm a little bit of a racist. But Jack has been told that these beans are going to grow into the sky, into the clouds. And now a lot of historical and religious people think that this is an homage to a theme of reaching the heavens and reaching the clouds. A ladder that gets you there is always like this grand prize. So they think that's the reason. They think Jack, because he was like young and full of ADHD, his creative mind was always looking up to the skies. So being able to breach that was like a goal that any child would dream of. So they would trade a cow for magic beans under any circumstance. So that's how they make it like a fair trade, because it seems kind of wild. But to that kid, it's the entirety of the world. So he takes the beans back.
Cultural context for beans. So that like people already knew what magic beans were before Jack and the Beanstalk. Magic beans were a thing.
Were they, though?
No, I'm asking.
I don't know because ultimately at the time it's a Victorian era time, and I don't know if people believed in magical creatures in that way. And because it's also an oral story, and this version is the closest to the oral story, and that's been told for 5,000 years, did beans always hold relevance? Were they always accessible? Did people just look to beans as this thing that weren't always accessible, but when it was, they thought it was a miracle, so they held this like holy kind of fucking power?
I would assume it's supposed to be an insult. Like, hey, for this cow, I'll give you three beans. So it's supposed to come off as this is a menial, meaningless payment for something that can bear meat
and that makes cheese sense.
And milk. So it's like you first look at it and it's like, oh, he's getting gypped, right? He's getting gypped. And that's the whole point because like, oh, he got gypped. That's why he's getting beat. Like, you know, the kind of casual domestic violence that Drew was talking about.
The old guy tells him, if these beans don't grow, you can come back here tomorrow and I'll give you your cow back.
Whoa.
And they say that in many versions of the trade.
So Jack had like the pre-notion he was going to probably just bring back all his crops on his farm or something with these beans.
No, he thought it would, if he grew these beans, he'd get to the sky. And he thought it was foolproof because the guy told him, oh, you can just come back and trade your
money back cow guarantee. Back.
Yeah. Totally.
And that's the classic merchant thing. But the issue is he doesn't have to get there because lo and behold, he comes back to his mama and he goes, Mama, look what I got. And she goes, that was fast. I can't imagine that you made that trade that fast. He's like, no, you'll never guess what I got. And this is the first instance in all of the retelling of the Jack stories where I think they give away some evidence to what race Jack is. Now, this is just a theory, but I am convinced personally that Jack is black. And here's evidence number one, when he brings his mom these beans, his mom says, direct quote, "Laws of mercy, you don't say so," interrupted the good woman. "And I worded all day lest they should take you in. What was it? 10 pounds? 15? Sure, it can't be 20. And I was like, that's, I know my people. That seems like something my people would say. No English person is going around going, "Laws of mercy." And so he goes, "No, mom. I got these 5 magic beans, and they will grow to the sky." To which she responds, evidence number two, "What? Them beans?" So you might be onto something with derogatory, because she was like, how dare you? You just got beans? Are you fucking crazy? That's ridiculous. Like, the adult mind can see that. But the child mind was like, yeah, mama, I got you 5 beans. But she says, "What them beans?" And that's also the blackest shit I've ever
heard. Can you please say that in your accent?
"What them beans?" And so I'm convinced that they're black. But whatever, nobody talks about it, so I'm not going to dive further. But anyways, they plant these beans. Now, the mother never hits him. I've never read a version where the mother hits him. Maybe there is one, but I haven't read it. But what happens is that the mom, I'm sorry, Owen, if you
don't like that. Wasn't he like, I don't give a fuck. Sent to bed without lunch or dinner or something like that?
And that's a weirdly important part of it, is that he was sent to bed supperless. And I thought it was weird that they kept bringing up that it was supperless, but it always leads into the next part. So he goes to bed supperless, he's sad as fuck, and he wakes up in the morning. His mom had thrown the beans out the window, 4 of them.
Actually, his mother threw the beans out the window, not Jack.
And some version Jack throws it, and this one she throws it. And some of them he's sad and he feels so bad that he screwed the family over that he just throws them out of his window out of anger.
Wow. But
this is another important part in this version.
Didn't think to go get him back. Didn't think to go get the cow back.
Right. Yeah. No. Because like it's like, oh, you just totally killed the whole reason that he got the beans in the first place. This story is starting to lose its credibility. I can tell it's oral. It's like, oh, it feels a lot like the Bible.
Yeah.
Dude, this is killing me right now, because in all of my weird deep analyzation, I've never thought about the fact like this nigga really threw the beans out the window and didn't think I'm get the cow back. He literally just forgot that part. And just moves on. That's
moves
weird.
On. Okay. Let's keep going. Moves on. Let's keep it moving.
So, this is something they also don't talk about, and I forgot to even mention this. When he's doing the trade, the old man says this riddle to him, and they bring up that Jack was like a very clever boy, and so Jack was always like able to outwit the witters. And it doesn't hold that much weight, but I thought it was weird. But the quote is when he goes up to the old man and goes, "Hey, I'm gonna sell this cow." So you will," chuckled the queer little old man. "You look the sort of chap for it. I bet you know how many beans make 5. two in each hand and one in my mouth, answered Jack readily. He really was sharp as a needle. This is the... You know, it's okay. I'm not even going to say it. We know what I'm saying. Just so, chuckled the queer little old man. And as he spoke, he drew out of his pocket five beans. Well, here they are. So give us Milky White. And they never talk about that more. He literally goes up to him and goes, you know how many beans make five? And the kid goes, two in each hand and one in my mouth. And he goes, damn, that was the right answer. Mm. What the fuck does that mean? What is everybody else okay with this?
And so I get Milky White, which is the name of the mom or the cow?
I think the cow. Right?
Definitely the cow, dude.
Because I was like, that kills your whole theory if that's her name.
No, I see where you're going with Milky White. It's a queer little old man.
Right.
Jack puts one of the beans in the mouth and the other two in his hand.
Was it milk she was really selling?
The Milky White. Okay.
Yo, there's something there. Hold on to that because there's something there. But he says that weird riddle to him about like two and so in this version, he throws out or his mother throws out four beans and he eats that last one. He's supperless and he's eating this fucking bean just like, and he goes to sleep with the bean chewed up in his mouth. When he wakes up, he's covered in green light. And he's like, what the fuck's going on? Opens his window and just sees all these leaves. So he gets out of his house and sees that one of the beans hit water and grew into a giant beanstalk. Why did the one in his mouth now grow into a giant fucking beanstalk? But the one outside did, and he decides to climb it immediately because he's like, this is sick as fuck. So he gets on the fucking beanstalk, climbs. He gets, apparently he loses his first one. He loses his second one. And right before he loses the third one, he makes it to the top. Sees the castle. Now the castle is back in that distance. And he's like, damn, I should go up in there. So he runs up into the castle, opens the door, and there's this lady, the ogre's wife. And it's weird because when I was thinking of this story and I had to reread it, I knew everything up until the point where he gets to the castle. So when you were saying it, I was like, fuck, why do we all forget what happens after he gets to the castle? That's like the whole point of the story. So he's in the castle, sees this lady, and she's making food. And he goes, my lord, I'm fucking starving. I didn't have any supper last night. I'm very hungry. Can you give me some breakfast? And she looks at him and goes, boy, my husband is a giant. You are breakfast. He's going to eat you. He loves little fat boys like you. And that's my second understanding that I got from this story, that not only is Jack black, but he's also fat. Wow. And it's because of that sentence. And he responds with, well, if I eat breakfast, I'll be even fatter. So he's now validating the fact that he is fat and fatter is a potential he can reach. I'm a fucking...
Lady, well, saying something, well, you have to remember, back then, fat was beautiful.
Mm. If you go to Spain right now, in some places of Spain, fat is beautiful because it means you have amenities and they view it in that way.
It's right, like, fat's not necessarily broke then or poor.
Exactly. Yeah. Fat means wealthy. Oh, okay.
Well, duh.
It, oh, shit.
No, this motherfucker's fat and his family's poor. It sounds like Papa's been eating too much cookies out of the cookie jar. I think his mother was justified in being like, she was a hardworking, angry woman with a bedridden husband she loves so much. This poor lady. Jack is a fucking dick.
No, Jack could have worms.
Jack could have worms. I'm going to tell you right now.
Jack could have worms.
If he has worms, they make him a dick. Yeah. And that's the only thing they do.
I mean, wouldn't it piss you off?
It would piss me off, but I wouldn't like finagle people out of literally food because they're starving, especially my mom. Okay, maybe I might finagle my mom. I'd feel less bad if it was my mom. But Jack is trying to impress everybody. So Jack's like up here in this castle.
Okay.
He sees this lady.
Okay.
And she won't give him food because like her husband wants to eat him instead.
Okay.
And he impresses her because he says, hey, if you feed me, I'll be even fatter.
Right, right. Okay,
and
I'm tracking.
She laughs and she goes, you know what? That was fucking sick. I get no visitors. Dope. I'll feed you. So she feeds him food. And some versions, it's cake. In other versions, it's just breakfast. And in this one version, I think it's porridge specifically. Mm. And they tie that to like Three Little Bears or shit, whatever. But he's eating just breakfast. And at some point, the giant just comes home, hears the thump, thump, thump. And she goes, oh shit, that's my husband. So it's classic. Do you guys remember that one music video, Trapped in the Closet?
Yeah, of course. R. Kelly.
It's literally that, but it's the oven.
Wow.
So I've got it. It's come to mind now. Is this not where he got where the giant goes? Fee fi fo thumb or thumb?
I see the blood of an Englishman. Fo thumb. I hear Jack talking to mum.
No, that's not what it is, Josh.
Fee fi fo thumb. I smell the blood of an English man, be he alive or be he dead. I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
I'm so fucking glad you knew the second half to that, because that's another big important part. Is it's a full piece, and that tiny piece, the first time they view it in written down history is in Shakespeare's King Lear. However, they think that came from still Jack and the Beanstalk's oral history. So that's why they think it is that old.
What does that even that mean? Broad. A fee fi fo thumb or fum?
It's just like a classic rhyme, I think, that giants would say, right?
I don't know. I don't know many giants.
Me either. Apparently, there's one named Blunderbore, another one named Gogomog. I'll put that all in the notes. But these are different giants that Jack being an archetype for somebody who defeats a giant, exists in many different ways. It's not similar to Jack and the Beanstalk, but there's a Jack defeating a giant. And one of them's named Blunderbore. Another one's named Gogomog. I'll fucking hook you up, dog. You look like a kind of guy who could use more giants in your life. But so this nigga is eating breakfast in another nigga's house. And then the main nigga comes home, and mama's like, oh shit, baby daddy's home. I need to hide you. Get up in the oven. He don't cook because I'm a woman and it's 1700s and we haven't breached that part of history yet. So he ain't going to look in there. So Jack gets in the oven, and Papa comes home and he's got three goats at his waist. And he's like, damn, I'm fucking hungry. And she was like, well, why don't you cut up the parsnips and I'll make you some food?
I thought you were just about to say parsley again.
I was like, parsnips, nigga. And honestly, ever since reading this story, I understand where you're coming from with parsnips. And I apologize for what I said on the last episode. Good. Talking all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a whack nigga. And so that happens, and he's like, kind of like, I'm cutting parsnips, but like low key, fee fi fo fum, bro. Like I smell Englishman. I smell another nigga in my house. And she goes, no, you're confused. That was just the young boy you ate yesterday or this morning. It switches in a lot of versions that are similar. It's either yesterday or this morning, and the giant believes it. And he goes, you know what? I think you're trifling, but you my wife, so whatever. I believe you. You my baby mama. You held me down when I was in jail, Gucci Mane style, so I believe you. And so she feeds him. And then he's like I think any rich man would do, which I think is super funny to imagine. After he's done eating, he's like, let me count all my money. And so he just pulls out a bag of gold coins and starts counting. He's like, fuck, I'm fucking rich, dog. And he's just counting it for no reason. And then he falls asleep. And now Jack's in the oven. He's like, oh, shit, he fell asleep. It's about time I get the fuck out of here. So he gets out of the oven, but he sees the bag of gold. And he's like, fuck, what do I do? Now, keep in mind, Jack is a young boy whose mother is really pissed about this cow because he traded it for five beans. So he's trying to make those five beans worth more than one cow. And last time I checked and I did math, one cow is equal to five beans until five beans is squared. And five beans squared gets you a bag of gold. So he's like, oh, if I just square this five beans, I'll have a bag of gold. And my mom will be happy again. So he does that hood arithmetic and gets the gold down to his mama. And as he's walking down to the beanstalk, he like sneaks out of there. The bag's too heavy, so he drops it and then scales down the beanstalk. And this is the third and final instance of my evidence for Jack is black. And it's because he does this, and then his mama says something like, ooh, boy, I swear to God, like, ooh, boy, where you been? It's raining gold out here. And I literally was like, there's no fucking way that this is how it's spelled. And it's spelled in that way. I will give you it in the bibliography. But Jack's mom's black. There's rain just of gold coming down on her. And now they're not poor. So he lives his life happily. He's doing young nigga shit, just being rich. They can eat whatever they
want.
Would
you say he's got five on it?
I got five. That should be the intro for the song. Grab your 40, let's get keys. Great song. And dude, great song. And so his dad's like eating whatever he wants, Mom's eating whatever she wants. Jack's a fat piece of shit. Life's good. Until they run out of the money. And now they're like, fuck, we got to figure out something to do. So Jack is like freaking out. And he's like, man, I need to go ahead and not eat tonight. Because you know what? We ain't got no much food anymore. And I don't know what to do. So he goes to sleep without food. And he's sad. But when he wakes up, magically another beanstalk has just appeared in his backyard, which is great timing. And he climbs up the beanstalk again and goes into the wife's house. Now, everything I'm about to say is very specific to this version. When he goes back into the wife's house, the giant's house, the wife sees him and he goes, hey, what's up? You got any food? And she goes, nigga, last time I let a motherfucker in my house like you, they ate my food and stole my gold, and you smell like him, you look like him. I can't tell. All you humans look alike, because ogres are racist, and it's like, all you humans look alike, and so I just can't trust you. And he goes like, but come on, babe, like, trust me. And he's like, no, I don't fucking trust you, but he tricks her again and gets in the same situation. Eats the breakfast, daddy comes home, he's in the oven. And now he's hiding in the oven, and the ogre's like, bitch, I swear to God, I smell another nigga in this house. And she's like, you're tripping. It's just a young boy you ate last week. And he's like, no, bitch, I know niggas, and I smell him in my house.
Why,
like,
is she trying to protect him?
Yeah, that's a good question.
This is a question that not only isn't answered in this, but in many versions isn't answered. And this is one of the bigger questions I have with this fairy tale. Why does the ogre's wife protect him time after time? It's going to get more complicated. So anyways,
she's already been robbed once.
This is the second time she's about to be robbed.
Okay, so he succeeds the second time, it sounds like. Okay.
No, I mean, things come in pairs of threes or fives, apparently.
She likes the action.
She's at least two other instances.
I'm visualizing the situation, but I'm missing one aspect that I don't think is accurate. I'm seeing the beanstalk, I'm seeing the giants, I'm seeing the characters and the energy, but I keep thinking about like a modern 20th, 21st century oven. I wonder what kind of oven he's actually in, because it's definitely not
like a cast iron stove, wouldn't it?
It would be something closer to that. Yeah. If we're talking about a 5,000 year old story, I mean, this could be anything.
It would be a stone oven at the time. There wouldn't be cast iron yet.
Yeah, so that's a better thing to imagine. Yeah. Like, he's in the oven. It doesn't necessarily mean there's a door. He doesn't have to like be loud when he opens the door. He has to kind of like hide behind a giant stone.
I don't even think there would be a door.
Right, there wouldn't be. Exactly. He wouldn't have to open a door.
What would it be like, actually? Because
it would just be a stone box, basically, just built stones that are like cemented together somehow.
How do you open it and close it?
You just don't. You just probably make a blockade.
There probably is like a clay that they do.
You know, like interesting,
in old Mexican culture, right? Like, they have like those clay ovens. I forgot
a word for those. They used to make alcohol distilled in them. There's a word.
Yeah,
for those
I forgot ovens. What the word is, but it probably would be something like that. It'd be stone or clay, and probably there would be some way to block it with like other clay, and then they can like break that away to get out whatever they were cooking.
It would have to be, because there's a very specific note about the airtight nature of the oven how the scent was present, but it wasn't strong. And not in this version, but in another version, there's a whole thing about how like he had to hide in the oven because it was the only thing that could hide his scent. So I assume the understanding translates to this one, since he also hides in the oven.
Because they're like charcoal, ash, soot, maybe like if they were baking bread or something.
I think it has to be more of an airtight situation because he's in another container, which we'll get to later, but he's in another container. It's not as airtight.
Which is giant size.
Okay. Fuck.
Yeah.
All this stuff is giant. So I'm thinking about now a giant stone slab that's kind of they just slide over the front of it to keep the heat in. Something like that. So it's airtight-ish.
This is the most human shit I've ever heard from all three of you, frankly. Like, your fucking hubris is showing.
Hubris?
Oh, yeah. You guys, when you think of giants, what you do is you imagine that everything's bigger and that it's all like these enormous proportions. What if we, in this size, are giant size? And really, Jack was a really tiny person. What if people evolved to get, on a macro level, bigger and bigger over the course of the last 400 years. You guys are just assuming everything's giant sized. Maybe it's all appropriately sized and Jack was tiny.
Well, you even talked about his thundering footsteps.
Jack was also fat from what you said.
Jack was also black, and black people are big as fuck. They're tall, man.
Yeah, but they he's clearly smaller than the giants, or they wouldn't be called giants. Here's the thing. I track what you're saying. I don't think it's hubris. I think it's all just relative context of size. At the end of the day, I'm comfortable with the giants being my size.
Yeah, but that understanding comes from a human, and that's this understanding that everything's relative in size because I can only understand things in that way. That's right. All Einstein.
You're just saying we need to open up our fairy tale mindset and think that maybe giants use microscopic little ovens in comparison to their size.
Or maybe giants.
Which seems like bullshit.
Maybe giants were normal size and we were small and we were just lying about it all. And maybe these things are bigger to us, but they're normal size.
That's so like the we're having like the color debate here now, right? It's like, is if the color
is
I see purple,
is it a debate?
Is it the same color that you see purple as?
Hey, but buddy.
We're not qualified for that debate because we're talking about relative size. We know that they're giants.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's okay that because everything's going to sound thunderous if they're 100 times bigger than you. And do we have any idea how much bigger they are than Jack? Is there any notes about that?
No, honestly, there isn't. And that's probably going to be the thing that crumbles my argument is that I don't have any definitive sizes for everything. So it is all speculation and relativity. And also at the same time, Jack was black. And I keep forgetting that because that's my main argument. And niggas are tall sometimes. And when they're not tall, they are fat, but they're at least 5'3". I've never seen a black person shorter than 5'3". So unless you show me evidence, they don't exist. And that gets us to the next point is where Jack and his fucking thievery, not trying to associate the two, these are separate points, even though I said they were connected, separate, but his thievery, he's back in that oven, and he's just sitting there, and this fucking guy's like, I know a nigga's been in here, but I trust my wife, I love my wife, so I ain't gonna question her, and he just eats his dinner, and he goes back to his chair, and he goes, you know what, I'm gonna pull out my hen, so he goes and he grabs this white hen, and he sits it on his white table. Now, they don't say white table, but you know that table was white because his hand was white and he was white. And so they have this white table with a white hand that's just dropping loads. And he just goes, lay. And this hand would drop this fat, goldy load of gold egg, a solid gold egg. And which is also the most rich shit you could do is just sit there and tell your gold-producing hen to just lay gold eggs for no reason. He's just like, lay. And then he'd sit there like, what is it, King Hermes? Is that the one they're fighting in 300? The big old fat god who's like, I'm a god. But he's not. He's human because Leonidas fucking pegs him with that goddamn spear.
I don't know. I don't know the character you're talking about.
It might be Xerxes, actually.
It is Xerxes.
King of Persia or something?
Yeah, and he wasn't fat.
Oh, he was fat in 300, buddy.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
And he's probably super built.
Yeah, he was fucking sculpted by
Xerxes
the gods.
Xerxes in 300?
Yeah, it's Rodrigo Santoro played him, and he was fucking jacked, dude.
Oh, dude, then I might be thinking of a different, the other fat dude who was like, I'm untouchable because I'm a god, and then he throws a spear at him and it nicks him, and then now the entire Persian army is falling because they're like, wow, that guy can hurt a god. Why do we believe in this god?
Okay, but he's got a hen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you talking about Ehud, the left-handed assassin of the Bible who kills the Moabite king?
I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm realizing I haven't seen 300 since I was 15. That's literally 10 years ago. Like, it all dawned on me. I'm like, fuck, do I remember this right? I might not. Maybe
I'm still curious about this hen that lays golden eggs.
Oh, dude, there's a hen that lays golden eggs. It doesn't even fucking matter, dude. Fuck that story. 300 was a way better movie than Jack and the Beanstalk was. But, okay, if you must, there's a hen, it lays gold eggs, whatever. Jack's in that oven. He's like, dude, we're still poor. So he jumps out of the oven when the giant's asleep, and he steals the hen. But, which is a weird thing to say, but they say, you know how hens do. He cackles. And so I guess hens would just like notoriously cackle, and it does it. And the giant wakes up and he's like, oh shit, someone's stealing my hen. I need to go get my hen. So he starts running, but he can't. He gets to the door and all he sees is a silhouette making it to the beanstalk. So he kind of like is like, fuck, I got robbed. I can't do anything about it. And this motherfucker slides down with the fucking egg and the hen. And his mom's like, oh my God, look, we got a hen and it makes eggs. Whatever. God damn it, Drew. Why'd you even bring that up, dude? It's my least favorite part of this story.
That's really good, though. Okay. Okay. But they get more gold. That's the idea. So mm-hmm. first they steal coins, then they get eggs from the gold.
So do you remember when we were talking about the coin thing, how it was like perfect timing that they ran out of gold and then another beanstalk just grew?
Appears. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
They get the hen.
Okay.
They have the eggs.
Okay. This weed, honestly, my heart is racing. I think it's this weed with this story.
Delta 8 doesn't do that, bro. You got to remember that Delta 8.
I'm not talking about Delta. Is this Delta 8?
Yeah, of course it's Delta 8. We would only smoke Delta 8 on this show, Josh. Why else would we smoke anything else?
No, but now that you said it, I'm not stoned at all.
Damn, dude.
Honestly, I'm sober as could be. My heart just stopped racing the second you said it was Delta 8. I was like, I thought it was some fire.
No,
then I would when never I found out it was Delta 8, my heart stopped racing.
Bro, fireweed is for rappers, mm-hmm. but not even like the good ones. I'm talking about the bad ones and for fucking, oh God, I really want to say this, but I probably should. I'm going to say it, dude. Mexicans. Because Mexicans are the only people on this planet that understand fireweed, and you shouldn't be touching it unless you're Mexican, because otherwise I don't hands with the devil's play tool.
Okay, so
and you're not a Catholic.
Let me revise. I'm not stoned.
Thank you.
I'm not excited.
Thank you.
I'm neatly and orderly tracking the story. And it's my understanding that at this point, they are shitting gold eggs at the house. And now I want to know what happens next.
I literally, Josh, if I had $1 million to announce that you were the winner of, you would have been the winner of $1 million just now. That was killer.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how egg keeps coming out of this hen's butt and right. producing all this gold.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem with giving money to poor people. If you don't educate them on how to be rich, what ends up happening is one, like the first time, they just indulge heavily mm-hmm. without creating a backup for that money source. And then they get more money, a sustainable money source.
Being an influencer.
Yeah. YouTube only, certified.
Got to be an influencer.
Organic.
I'll tell you this. I learned on an ad before a YouTube video that $1 becomes $2, $2 becomes $4. And if you just double your money, you'll have $256 million in like 30 days.
Honestly, that's a weird thing because I thought about that a lot. Weird.
Wow.
Ghetto hustle mindset, would you call it?
Yeah, that's ghetto hustle mindset for sure.
Yeah, you get this, you flip it. Have you ever been, and you don't have to say for
what. Well, the silly thing is, it's like it's also like no shit, you know? Yes, if you double your money every day, you'll have more of it. And that part is just like, it's like, oh, but if you buy a book that's $250 every month, you can join this MLM, and it's a lifestyle thing, and I'm a financially independent person, and I just moved to the outskirts of Billings, Montana, and I'm totally free now. And I've got all sorts of like financial stability coming my way, passive income, lifestyle, all this fucking shit. And it's so fucking shallow. It's complete horseshit. Honestly, there's no amount of money that you can have to be stable. That's what I believe now. But I'm still interested in how these people are pretending to have stability.
My issue is, do you think that comes from an outside source, this idea of getting out of poverty and how you do it? Like getting into, because what you just said seems like a loop. You know what? Actually, I'm going to bring this up in a second because I just want to go ahead and kill what happens right now. But I do think the loop thing is a weird thing. Getting stuck in this loop of, oh, if I just do this and flip this and flip this, I'll get it. Because that's where Jack's at.
Yeah, because like how many beans could Jack have had?
Five. I mean, at most five.
He's got five, right? Well, then he could flip it and make a 10.
No. He's got five, and these things reduce value. It's like buying five Lambos 2016. They're not going to increase in value by 2020. You're still the nigga with five Lambos, but only in 2016.
All right, tell me they didn't kill the hen.
Obviously not, but what they did do is get greedy, because that's what happens. It's like now I have a new sustainable source of income.
One car wash, two car wash, three car wash, Carl's Jr.
Amen. Yeah. But no. It's I got a Carl's Jr., and my Carl's Jr. is doing great, and it's only been 1 year that the Carl's Jr. has been working, but fuck it. What I need is a Trump hotel. Like, it's going from fucking Carl's Jr. to, like, I need a luxury hotel that's in every big fucking city. He literally goes, I got a golden egg, and I have a hen that produces it. That's all mine. I need more. So what he does—
from the hen to the henny without wasting a penny.
Yo, dude, that was a low-key bar. We're recording right now, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
I know, dude. We can cut that out, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I can use it and sample it in my mix. Yeah,
we'll cut it in post.
Sick, dude. That was a bar. Don't forget that bar, dude. So he's sitting there, and he's like, bro, I got so many eggs. I need more eggs. And he does the most first-world millennial shit, I think, that is possible. He purposefully starves himself for an idea that he believes in. And he goes, hey, dude, I'm not going to eat tonight. I need more money. And he goes to sleep. And this is why it's important, because now, the next day, a beanstalk grows. So now, I don't know if you've been keeping up.
But yes, like, yes, yes. I think I get it.
So he climbs up this beanstalk, goes up to the top, sees the castle, runs up to the lady, and he goes, hey, dude, can I have breakfast? And she goes, nigga, I swear to God, twice? You gonna get me in my house twice? Fuck you. Just kidding. That only happens in one version, because in this main version, what happens is he knows this is gonna happen. He's a trickster. So he hides in their yard, waits, sneaks into the house once the giant leaves. He knows if I hide in the oven, the wife's gonna know I'm there. So he hides in specifically a copper pot next to the oven. Now, this is important because in some other versions, the copper pot is where he goes to immediately, and it's not airtight, and that provides its own set of issues.
So you're saying in other versions of the story, he's always sent to the copper pot, not the oven?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I got you.
It was advised.
And the third time the beanstalk grows, he just goes back to the same place. It's not different in those versions.
It's not in those. Hmm. In those times, he only goes up twice.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't even go up three. The three is unique to the Joseph Jacobs version and unique to the version where he sneaks into the oven twice and then hides in the copper pot once.
Okay. So he's in the copper pot now.
Because you can only trick a person so many times.
That's right.
Yeah. The wife's fucking ready, dude. She's like the side nigga is no longer the side nigga. He's a trifling hoe.
Fool me once, fool me twice.
And so we get to a point where we realize that Jack's trifling behavior.
I'm not by any means good at making drinks. I don't know. That's probably horrible.
No, God it is. Damn. Dude, let me taste that real quick.
Oh, no, dude.
Let me just see this. Ready?
That's the worst thing, guys, I've ever drank.
I'm not going to lie. Drew's a really good friend of mine.
No, I don't know what I did not know what I was doing.
Right, pass the
drink. You gotta try that. You gotta try that,
dude. Drew's a really. I can't stress this enough right now, guys.
Yeah.
Drew's a really good friend of mine.
Is that all? Is that all?
Hey, Josh.
It's probably mostly Aperol? The gin.
Oh, it's mostly gin.
It's mostly gin.
Is it half gin, half Aperol?
Probably. No, yeah. Not. I mean, it's less Aperol. Not like.
Man, did you try it?
Yeah, I did.
Let me see your face.
Wait, why are there two? That one's
that,
mine.
That
right?
One's mine, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I did the same
thing. Same exact drink.
Same exact drink.
All right, let's cheers this.
Cheers.
With the sip, hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's horseshit. But
yeah, dude. You know what, though? You know why I love this, Drew?
Because I'm instantly wasted now, and I don't give a fuck about anything.
No, not only that, but because that drink was so bad that I thankfully have an excuse for not continuing this podcast. I'm about to fucking vomit, Drew. So what's gonna happen, Drew, what's actually because of your shitty bartending, and again, guys, this is a good friend of mine. This is somebody who literally, when I first moved here, gave me a purpose. He would freestyle with me. He was fucking, he's never, ever been mean to someone that I know, and I've told him to be mean to people. I'm like, Drew, you gotta tell that nigga to go suck a dick. And Drew's like, hey, dude, I've sucked a dick before. It's not fun.
Whoa, I don't know if I've said
no,
that.
No, dude, Drew.
I heard that.
Dude, yeah. Drew, actually what he said was, I've sucked a, and I was like, Drew, don't speak with your mouth
full. Misheard.
This is rude. And so Drew took my dick out of his mouth and said, hey, dude, I've sucked a dick before, and it sucks. And I get that. And so what I'm saying is, because of all the dick sucking we've been doing tonight, I think it's fair that I let all of you guys go home and rest up. Because the next half of this podcast, low-key might fuck you up. And we should have called this Fucked Up Fairy Tales because of how fucked up this is going to fuck you up. But we're not.
All right.
Because we're
better. Wait. We are going to learn. We're going to hear more about this. I mean, he's in the copper pot. What are we going to learn? What happens next?
Of course you are.
Okay.
Yeah. When you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and make sure to listen to the second part.
Listen,
dude. I know. I wish we could do this forever, but unfortunately, I'm fucking wasted. You're fucking wasted, and this isn't just your common everyday fairy tale. This is a fairly odd fairy tale. And with that, I just want to tell you three things. One, thank you so much, Josh, for being here. I am going to go ahead and say this on mic. You're going to be here for the next one. So now, I don't know if you had something pressing to do next Monday, but no, you don't. Shut the fuck up. You're going to be here. Two, Drew, if you're not here, everyone's going to worry about continuity. Three, thank you so much to the Helios Network for providing us a place to go ahead and do this every week, giving me a place to just be the fucking ratchet young nigga that I am. And I honestly might go ahead and put that song I made last night on this episode specifically because I am young, black, and ratchet, an alcoholic crackhead. But you've been listening to Fairly Odd Fairy Tales. Remember, guys.
Goodbye, good night, and drink and read responsibly. Or you might think that you're as important enough as me to start the podcast. I'm not more.